Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is the show where we hear from farmers, processors, chefs, hunters, and thinkers. We'll be talking about food, which always makes me hungry.
This old hen's a good old hen, lays a mash for the railroad men. Sometime one, sometime two, that's enough for the hold-up crew.
We'll talk with two farmers today, so hang on tight. We start off in Deer Lake, home of the fourth busiest airport in Atlantic Canada. Yes, there are people who keep track of such things. We head up the Viking Trail toward Gros Morne. We cross the Humber River, past the Insectarium, which you really should visit sometime to see some of our future sources of protein in all their diversity. Shortly after that, take a left on Goose Arm Road, head toward the end past a brightly colored sign saying, "Attention, agriculture area for next 2.5 kilometers, no shooting." No shooting? Has there been a problem with hunters taking down a Holstein, mistaking it for a moose? On the left, you'll see some barns and a large greenhouse. That's Robbins Family Farm and Gardens, run by Terry Lynn and Bill Robbins. I visited them on a hot July Sunday afternoon. Terry Lynn and I sat down in front of the pen of a very, very pregnant goat. I fully expect it will give birth during the interview. Join us.
We are a agritourism farm with a greenhouse that we grow annuals and vegetable starter plants. And now we are growing vegetables for harvesting and selling.
Can you remember when you decided you'd do this kind of a thing?
Oh, I can tell you exactly when, actually. How personal do you want us
well,
to get?
The fact that this is a radio audience guide you.
Yeah. All right. Well, 8 years ago, Bill and I, we were living in Ontario. Bill had a landscape business up there, and I worked in long-term care, and we lost our youngest daughter and decided that our plan was always to move to Newfoundland eventually, and we were really looking for something different, a new chapter in our life. And so we decided that was the time. We came down here for our daughter's funeral. This is where she was laid to rest. And we were contacted by the owners of this farm and asked if we could, wanted to come and look at it. He was desperate to sell. And we had looked at it before and said no. The moment we got here, I stepped out of the car. It was August, and I felt like I was home. So we said, okay, we'll purchase this. And we did, and came, and it was started off as just a greenhouse operation with annuals and really operating only 3 months of the year. And that first year, our first growing season, we extended for the fall, and it sort of evolved. Since then.
Did you have experience in agriculture, or did Bill have experience in agriculture before you came here?
Well, Bill's parents' best friends were dairy farmers, so that was his experience in agriculture. I didn't even like to get dirty before I came here. In fact, I did not even plant. I never planted anything. Any landscaping we did, Bill owned his own landscape business, so he did all of the planting. I wasn't an outdoor girl at all. I was a city girl. I'm from Newfoundland, but I was raised in Ontario. And when we came here, it was with the complete understanding that I would not be working in, you know, within the greenhouse or anything.
It appears different today.
It does, as I sit here next to my goat waiting for her to give birth.
Right, yes. Hopefully on the radio. We'll see.
That's right. When I'm involved in something, I like to know what I'm doing. Yeah. So I studied, I read, I YouTubed, I Googled, I did everything. Yeah. And it's not often you can get me on a name of a flower today.
Okay.
And slowly we started to get involved with the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. I think it was in our second growing year. Through them, I got involved with agriculture in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I have completely and totally today, I can tell you, I've found myself in agriculture.
So for a young farmer, somebody listening who thinks, I wouldn't mind growing food, where did
you get inspiration, or do you just sort of start and you learn by doing? What's your advice?
Well, we just sort of started and learned. When we started volunteering with agriculture in the classroom, it was through the Little Green Thumbs program. Yep. I'd never really stopped and thought about where my food came from before.
Yep.
And when we did our very first classroom visit and I spoke with kids that had no idea that carrots had green tops and where flowers or where vegetables really truly came from, or you know, the hamburgers they're eating, where that came from. And so that's sort of where my original inspiration came. And that same year we were at the Deer Lake Fall Fair, and somebody said, really not sure where these three little pigs are going to go because they can't go back to their farm that they came from for biosecurity reasons. And it was 3 o'clock on a Saturday, and I said, we'll take them. And this individual looked at me and said, have you ever raised pigs before, Terry Lynn? I said, no. He said, do you know how to raise pigs? I said, no. Should you call Bill? So I quickly called Bill and said, okay, I think we just bought the three little pigs at the fair, and we have to have them picked up and out of here in 2 hours. So, and so, you know, again, that's kind of where our inspiration came from. It was just a last minute thing, and I'd never taken the time to know where my food came from before. Mm-hmm. And now I can very proudly say that, you know, we produce all of our own meat, beef and chicken and pork and turkey and lamb, and we have for 4 years. And if you want to get into it, just do it.
If somebody offers you three pigs, go home and build a house of straw, wood, and bread for or whatever.
I asked Terry Lynn about a piece of music to play. She thought about it for a while, many weeks actually. I wasn't in a hurry. I'm a patient guy. When she made her decision, it was a song that connected immediately and intimately. Sometimes waiting works. This is Mina Lodge, singing a tune called My Heart, My Home.
We have a lot of kids who come here, including right now, who love to be here, and they learn something about food. But how do we get back to where people are more aware of where food comes from and how it's created and so on? Is it through the kids?
I think that's definitely a great start, is through the kids. I think they're, you know, there's definitely a change in younger families right now. More people want to know where their food is coming from. And I think starting it with the kids is definitely important, because when you inspire the kids, they go home and they're inspiring, you know, they're inspiring their parents to want to know where it's coming from as well. Over Christmas, we went to Ontario to visit our daughter and our granddaughter, and at the airport, we were waiting for a delayed flight to come home, and this young girl came over and she said, "Do you remember me?" And she was in our very first little Green Thumbs program back in 5 years ago. And she had since then moved from Pasadena on to Ottawa. Her mom told me that she is still wanting a huge vegetable garden in her backyard, and she, you know, says it's all because you guys inspired her to do this. So I think it does start with the kids, absolutely.
What's your favorite local food? Like, if you have somebody who's coming from somewhere else, you're going to cook them something, what would you cook for them that's local?
Oh, that's local. Well, I would do one of two things. I would either, depending on the time of year, offer nice fresh seafood, or one of our absolute favorites is probably my husband's pulled pork, made from our own farm fresh pork. And that has become a staple sort of in our house when we have company visiting. And in fact, if I may tell you a little story, last year the Run the Rock crew from the HMCS St. John's that raised money for Children's Wish, they were coming into Deer Lake and they had nowhere that particular night to eat supper. And so I do a lot of stuff on, you know, last minute on the spur of the moment. And so I said to them, "Oh, you should come to our farm." And so I called my husband up and said, "So I just invited 17 people to the farm for supper tonight. Can you throw some pork in the oven?" And we were harvesting some chicken that day. And so we also did some rotisserie chicken. And I guess the pulled pork was a huge success. It's all from scratch. And we even use some herbs that we grow ourselves. And it must have made such an impression that we've kept in touch with some of the sailors.
And if you hadn't picked up those three pigs, you might never have pulled pork.
Absolutely. We've never would have done that.
It seems to all come back to take the pigs.
It does. That's right. Answer, I was inspired to take the pigs, and maybe that's why.
So you've been involved in the Federation of Agriculture. You've been at many agricultural meetings. I've seen you at them and so on. You understand the whole process, I suppose, of trying to build, double our food production and so on. What are the kinds of things you think that we need to do next, in the next year, 2 years, that are going to move us forward the fastest?
You know, there's lots of things I think we need to do. You know, we talk a lot about food security, and we're really good at, you know, growing our own food and being food secure. I think that goal is definitely attainable, but we need the secondary processing in place in order to achieve it.
Right.
For some of the things.
Right.
You know, last year, I do believe, if I might be off a little bit on the numbers, but I do believe there were over 1,200, just as an example, culled dairy that were shipped off of the island, according to Marine Atlantic, for 2017.
Mm.
Those animals were consumable, and they went into the food chain in another province or down into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a facility in place here on the West Coast or the East Coast, more facilities, more secondary processing facilities, that represents probably a couple of million pounds of beef that could have entered into our own food chain.
Right.
We're hoping to actually open our own red and white meat slaughter facility here, or abattoir.
Yep.
Some people don't like that word.
Yeah.
So yes, we're looking to do that as well. It's been a long process. It's been a process that's been in play for about a year and a half to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to work through all the red tape.
Right.
But we're encouraged.
Speaking with Terry Lynn Robbins at her greenhouse and farm and education center. Just the day after this interview, the farm was about to get much noisier. I asked her about that.
So starting tomorrow, you are going to have a children's camp here. Farmers in Training.
Farmers in Training.
There's nothing subtle about that. It's not like you're saying, oh, learn about nature. You're saying, you're going to be farmers.
Absolutely. So this is something I've been wanting to do probably for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I decided, what's stopping you? So we trialed it over the Easter break, and we did 3 days of full day farm camp or Farmers in Training camp. We had such a great time. The kids had a great time. In fact, some of the kids that came on the Monday had so much fun that they actually signed up for the Wednesday and the Friday as well. So we decided we would offer it for 1 week in the summer, and 1 week turned into 2 weeks. So we thought, okay, yeah, we'll do one in July and one in August. And then we were getting parents messaging asking, well, could you do one in this week in July? And what's amazing is we have some local kids, which is awesome, but we have a lot of kids from away. So we actually have, you know, kids registered from Port Saunders and Port Oshawa and Flowers Cove and Bay Vert and Stephenville. And so their parents are committed to their kids having this experience. So they're coming in and they're parking their trailers, you know, at some of the local campgrounds, and the kids are going to come here. And these kids are going to experience things like, I mean, we're going to have lots of fun, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but, you know, they're going to experience what life can be like on a mm-hmm. farm, and so mm-hmm. they're going to help us feed our animals and take care of them. We'll do some grooming of some of the animals while they're here, and they'll get to collect eggs every day, and you know, they'll definitely experience, you know, lots of poop on the farm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, we'll do things every day. There'll be a special project. Definitely be harvesting some lettuces and radishes and, you know, stuff that's in season right now. They'll be planting stuff to take home, like tomatoes and things that they can grow. And we'll be doing some wagon rides and making ice cream, which Bill says is probably the most important task
well,
of the day.
Well, that's an important skill to know.
That's right, yeah.
At the beginning, you mentioned this place as an agritourism operation. What role does agritourism play in becoming more food secure in general? I mean,
in general, I think it's really just helping to educate people.
Yeah.
Raising awareness,
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, when people come to our farm, one of the very first things we tell them as they get out of their car is, you know, we're a petting farm, but we want everybody to understand that some of our animals are for pets and some of our animals we raise as food. But we love our food as much as we love our pets, so everybody lives the same life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions out there about, you know, raising your animals for food and commercial farms and, you know, mm-hmm. all that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. we're trying to bust some of those myths, I guess. And the other thing is we want to show people, you know, some alternative ways. You don't have to be a big farmer. You don't have to own a big farm to grow your own food. So, you know, sitting here on my farm, getting my hands dirty, eating what I'm growing and you know, listening to my goat, hopefully getting ready to deliver her baby today.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, that's what makes my heart happy, and what pushes me forward to do this. Yeah.
Carolyn Robbins, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Come back again.
I will.
That was Terry Lynn Robbins, recorded on her farm near the end of Goose Arm Road, just off the Viking Trail, northwest of Deer Lake. And we've been listening to the music of Mina Lodge, a song called My Heart, My Home, the request of Terry Lynn. From Terry Lynn's farm, get back on the TCH and head east, past that famous airport, fourth busiest in Atlantic Canada, past the turnoff to Howley, past the turnoff to White Bay South, past the turnoff to Springdale, past the turnoff to the Bay Vert Peninsula, and just past Grand Falls, Windsor, by the old way scales, take a left turn, head north toward Wooddale. You may want to take this section a bit slow. There's a few scattered potholes, but just past the Wooddale Tree and Vegetable and Cranberry Nursery, take a right and follow the sign to Mark's Market. Nice new building there, with impressive tree stumps holding up its front porch. I'm here to talk to Chris Oram, who operates this market, with his wife Kayla and his dad Dick, and a crew of other helpers. It's the end of a long day, and we chatted in a back room of his market as the last of the berry pickers wandered through.
Chris Oram, I'm the manager of Mark's Market here in Wooddale, Central Newfoundland.
Can you remember what influenced you to start farming?
When I was in high school, I actually hated farming. Someone mentioned to me that I could probably make the basketball team up at the agriculture college, so I decided to go up there and made the basketball team, and at the agriculture college, NSAC, discovered what opportunity we had back on my home farm to diversify and make our business a lot better than it was.
Yeah. What kind of crops do you grow here at the moment?
We tell everyone we grow everything that you can grow in Newfoundland, plus a little more. We do your traditional root crops, and we've been testing out the watermelon and cantaloupe, and had a little bit of success with it, and cucumbers and peas and beans and strawberries, black currants, basically whatever can be grown here, we're trying to grow.
And you sell most all of it out of the shop here, out of the market?
We sell everything through our farm market here on Insight in Wooddale. And the rest of what we do is the fundraiser bags for school. So they basically, give them a good product, and they make some money on it as a fundraiser for their schools.
Yeah. What do you find that people want out of the food? When they come and they're in the market and they're talking, what do they...
They just enjoy that, you know, they're coming down to the farm and buying it fresh. And besides the cheese in our market, everything we do is in-house, and they just got to know us and really enjoy that it's local and fresh.
So you've been involved in the Federation and the Young Farmers Forum and so on. It's been a big thrust to try to create more farmers or bring them in. Do you have suggestions about policy changes or actions that we could do?
Yeah, well, any new farmer, young or aged, we'll say, my biggest thing would be to start small and work your way up. It's no good to walk into it and think you're going to take over a market or change the face of agriculture in Newfoundland. Just start small and grow and learn your markets and grow with your market.
Yeah. You've got a bunch of land here in various phases. How long does it take to get land into production?
We usually probably takes us 3 years. We like to grub it and then spend the season picking rocks off it and then get the lime on it. Yeah. And then the following year after that, we put a green manure crop in. We like oats ourselves and just plow them back into the ground.
Would you you said you went to the agriculture college in Truro and so on and so forth. There's some discussion about having agriculture education here, but what do you think about that?
I think it is a good, as a say, a technician program, but a degree program. And I'm a huge fan of it's Dalhousie Agriculture now, but when I went NSAC, because it got me off island and see farms down in the valley or across Nova Scotia, even with basketball, we went down to Maine. So I got to see farms not only all over Maritimes, but even up as far as Ontario. So
when you have a question or a problem or a bug or whatever, how do you get answers to that?
Right now, I got a lot of contacts through my schooling up on the mainland. So I got a couple good friends we'll talk to, but have my father in agriculture for 35 years. He's seen a lot of Newfoundland pests and disease, so I learned through that too.
Yeah.
I asked Chris about a song to play, and he first suggested...
I don't know. I personally kind of like Black Betty as well.
Black Betty?
Yeah, it's my song.
I had it ready to go, but I asked him again, just before I did the editing, just in case, and he changed it to this one. Just as familiar, and it certainly fits his situation.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. My days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. And life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, I pull out my fiddle and I rosin up the bow. The kids are asleep, so I keep it kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't think it very good. So I fiddle when I can and I work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine life, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
terms of growing here. Are there some advantages to agriculture in Newfoundland Labrador?
Yeah, we're the only spot in pretty much Canada now still making new agriculture land.
Yeah.
So we have that potential. It takes a lot more money for us to get agriculture in, but I mean, there's some great programs to help out with aid to that. Our Canadian agriculture program and our provincial agriculture program has its challenges, but in theory are great to help producers out. So
Have you seen a rise in terms of the local people shopping locally? Is there a change in terms of the culture here in the middle?
Definitely here in Central. We get people from Gander, Springdale, Bayvert. I mean, they make it part of their Saturday or work weekly trip into Grand Falls would be come down here and buy all their produce.
Yeah. Is there a crop you're thinking of growing next year? Or is that a secret trade?
No secret trade. No. We're just trying to continue on, say, status quo as we look at the seed catalogs. If we can find some more, we will definitely try growing it.
Yeah.
And by request, if any of our customers get us to grow anything, we'll try to grow it for them.
So if I want some odd herb or something like that, I could say, hey, can you grow... whatever, I don't know, dill or whatever. That's not odd.
No, but whatever, like you say, we have one customer, they were trying to germinate lovage and couldn't get it germinating, so we helped them out a little bit, and they're quite appreciative of that.
What's your favorite thing that you grow here?
Non-traditional crop would be sweet corn. You can't beat that. Just being able to pick it off the husk and don't even need to cook it. It's that sweet and eat it. Yeah. But traditional Newfoundland would be our carrots. Our carrots, I think any of our customers would say that our carrots are a big drawing point for our market.
What is the soil here or the...
Variety in soil.
So an average day, so this is the end of one day. Well, not the end for you probably, but almost the end. What happens? What's your schedule?
So my schedule usually is get up 6:30. I come down, have coffee with my father, and we got five or six workers in. So we talk about what we're going to do within that day. Right now, like today, was starting out picking strawberries, and then after strawberries was weeding. And you can see here on the market floor a bunch of cucumbers and zucchini and stuff, just harvesting stuff through the day as the farm needs or the market needs it, and weeding and trying to get through another week.
I noticed you mentioned weeding twice in that.
That's
a fair bit of that, I guess.
A lot of weeding, a lot of hand weeding. Our strawberry fields got done before we opened. Now we're where we've been open and picking a lot of berries. We're trying to play catch up on the rest of the crops.
Yeah. Well, thanks for so much for taking the time.
No problem.
Well, my fiddle was my daddy's till the day he died. And he took me by the hand, held me close to his side. Said, live a good life, play my fiddle with pride. Thank God you're a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. He taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
I've been speaking with Chris Oram, a vegetable farmer and strong agriculture advocate from Wooddale in central Newfoundland. His music choice was John Denver's classic, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. And he is. This has been Fit to Eat. If you have questions or comments, email me at fittoeat@gmail.com. The theme music was Cluck Old Hen, done this week by the Kay Brothers. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications with the support of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture and Food First NL. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Take care of each other. Happy trails.